Log Talk Radio.
This is National Detroit Weekly. My name is Michael Van Tool. Thank you for joining us this evening. We are remote and live from Cola Restaurant and Ultra Lounge in Farmington Hills. Thank you so much for joining us. National Detroit Weekly is brought to you in part by the Ellis Funeral Home and the law offices of Pascal, Tashman, and Walker. I am so glad that you're here this evening, let me tell you, and we're going to have an interesting program for you tonight. At some point, we're here because this is about business opportunities and about starting your business, and that's what the topic is, and we have a couple of topics tonight, so hopefully we'll be able to catch at least one or two of the speakers tonight, and I will attempt to share to be one of the speakers and share some information with you tonight. So that's what it's all about. I'm just waiting on my co-host to step in and chime in, Pastor Shauna Taylor from Beacon Outreach Ministries and also blogger Harold Sullivan. We're hoping that he can chime in too, because we would like to get his vision and insight. But look, the weather is a little cloudy and rainy, and there's a little thunderstorm tonight, but you know what? If things need to be done, we need to get the work done. But National Detroit Weekly is your connection to news commentary, political commentary, and local, national, and other types of information. And we are brought to you again by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, the law offices of Pascal, Tashman, and Walker, and the Ellis Funeral Home on Grand River in Detroit. So we're glad that you're here. And, you know, I know some of you are listening online. Some of you are calling in, and we're glad that you're here. And I've got some clients that I want to take the time tonight to talk about a few of our sponsors before we go into any additional detail. The law offices of Pascal, Tashman, and Walker is a full-service national law firm committed to providing the best possible legal services to meet your specific needs. We represent individuals in Michigan and throughout the United States. We are members of the Michigan and American Association of Justice. We have attorneys honored by the County of Wayne, State of Michigan, for their outstanding record of advocacy for low-income people and community services. We've been listed in the Detroit News Super Lawyer section in the field of medical malpractice. We are members of the Million and Multi-Million Dollar Advocates Forum. You know, Pascal, Tashman, and Walker is also known as the Pastor's Choice. Pascal, Tashman, and Walker is the Pastor's Choice, specializing in serving pastors, churches, and congregations with excellence in legal representation. We are intimately aware of your needs and stand ready to serve you. Here's the number for the law offices of Pascal, Tashman, and Walker, 248-353-7750. 248-353-7750. And I also want to talk about Joe the Tailor. We want to welcome Joe the Tailor from Joe's Tailoring to National Detroit Weekly. You know, don't be a hot mess. Look your best. Joe the Tailor provides complete tailoring, men's and women's alterations, outfits, arms and weddings, tutos, and music for the host. Look, dry cleaning services also. All this and more at reasonable and affordable prices, and accessories like bow ties, regular ties, accessories, belts, and blades. Their tailoring is located at 25247 Boston Road, in Boston, in 10 miles to the spot. The number for Joe's tailoring is 248-351-0004. Again, 248-351-0004. I'm telling you, look, if you you can also chime in to National Detroit Weekly on the phone, not just on the internet, but also on the phone, and you can actually join the conversation too. here's the number to call in, 657-383-0565. Got it? The number is 657-383-0565. And that is to chime in, and you can, you know, let us know that you want to make a comment. But I want to thank all of you who are listening to National Detroit Weekly, and we issue a new program every Wednesday evening at 6:30. Izzy, logistics and distribution. We leave people, places, and things better than we found them. Can you imagine that? I wish companies were like that. With strategic beautification and maintenance services, create the curb appeal you need to catapult your business, commercial strip, or church to the next level of excellence. Call Izzy Logistics and Distribution at 866-97-IZZY, I-Z-Z-I-E, extension 3. Improve curb appeal and connect with your community. You got that number again? 866-97-IZZY, I-Z-Z-I-E, extension 3. Connect with your community. Improve curb appeal and connect with your community. Izzy Logistics and Distribution. Wow. Isn't that impressive? Man, I tell you. I'm trying to, look, we have a sponsor for everything. Anything you want to get covered. If you want to get a new car, we have a new car sales and leasing specialist in Deacon Moe, real Deacon, Deacon Moe. Deacon Moe can help first-time buyers get into a brand new car. There's payment terms, down payment assistance, brand new vehicles, of course, brand new Ford vehicles. Leasing is available. What do you need to get started? An application. Just fill out an application and your driver's license, your proof of income. That's all you need to get started at Avis Ford. Just so when you go in at 12 Mile and at 12 Mile and Telegraph, ask for Deacon Moe, and that's all you got to do. All right, we're going to check and see if we've got Pastor Taylor, co-host, on the line. Pastor Taylor, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I have another guest, too, and her name is
great.
LaJuan, Sister LaJuan in the
house. Oh, great. Great, great. Well, it's good to hear you guys, and I'm glad that we are, again, live from Cola Restaurant, and you may hear some of the talking in the background, but we are live, and I'm just going through some of the sponsors, and, you know, I know that, Pastor Taylor, you're going to talk about Miss Black Fit and Fine, you're going to talk about Amnesia, her event coming up, but I just want to cover a couple of things before I might have to step away. And that is Renee Cunningham, who is a director of benefits at American Income Life. We call her the legacy protector. Her goal is to inspire you to overcome every challenge in your life by discovering your purpose. And it's life insurance through American Income Life and more. The number to reach Renee Cunningham is 313-549-0918. And also, American Standard Roofing, Michigan's number one roofer using the finest, most durable materials, certified crews, free estimates, financing is available. Gutters, skylights, and siding. American Standard Roofing can be reached at 248-350-2323. All right. And I think that's it for me, Pastor Taylor, for right now. Oh, let me just say something about Ellis Funeral Home, a family serving families. That's the Ellis Funeral Home, 313-535-8800. The Ellis Funeral Home is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, serving all faiths. At the Ellis Funeral Home, we are a family serving families with dignity and quality care at affordable prices. Go online at ellisfuneralhomeinc.com or call 313-535-8800. The Ellis Funeral Home on Grand River between Lafayette and Telegraph, a family serving families. Pastor Taylor, what's on your mind this evening?
Working hard, it's like work never leaves us, it seems. So, you know, we have this beautiful person. She owns Relani's Boutique. She's very well known. She's on 10 Mile in Southfield. And I'm telling you, ladies, go on and get you a nice outfit from her. I mean, she will get you together. I'm telling you, she will get you together. Her auditions is coming up. It's actually this Saturday, and you have to pay $20 to be a model, 50 and up. That's right. So you want to make sure you go to Relani's Boutique in Southfield, Michigan on 10 Mile Road, and you want to make sure you go because I'm telling you, you are going to have a wonderful time. Also, I'm pleased to say that guess who? Michael is going to be performing on April the 19th. Did I say that? April 19th. He is doing type of poetry. Tickets are $20 right now. So you can come and get your tickets at our box. Suite 400E. So, y'all want to come out? I know you do. I know you just want to come out and be nosy and see what he do. So, I'm telling you now to come on out and support your man. That's right. If he can do it, I'm telling you, y'all haven't seen nothing. It's an unstable tour, okay? Y'all want to know about his life? Y'all want to know about what God has done and how he's not unstable any longer? Come out and check him out at Cola's in Farmington Hills, Michigan at 7 p.m. Also, we have a beautiful, that's right. I don't know how many of you heard of her before, Amnesia Dove. All right. So y'all got to come out and support Amnesia Dove. And I didn't say Amnesia to forget who she is, but that's her name, Amnesia. Her event is April the 15th at Beacon Outreach Mission. That is at 24681 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan. It is going down. Put on your best. I'm talking about your best. You know you've been wanting to get out that house. You know you've been wanting to get out just to dress up, put on a gown, and just do you. So this is the time to eat some good food. The food is catered by Lily Bell's Catering. You want to come out and get some food and eat good, I'm telling you. We are having macaroni and cheese, green beans, potatoes. That's right. And fried chicken and also rolls. And there will be cakes. And, I mean, it's going to be so much live entertainment. We are going to have fun. And yours truly, Michael Ventura, will be performing. So, yay, hallelujah to that. And also, I want to acknowledge my sister, LaJuan, on today. I want to acknowledge you for your strength, and I want to acknowledge you for your character. I want to acknowledge you for being a mother that's strong. And to all y'all single mommies out there, your single moms out there, and you ones that's wifed up, I'm telling you, I send out a shout out to you today and tell you that you could truly do all things that you want to do to fulfill your assignment, your purpose, and your destiny. Also, I want to talk about it got the nerve to thunderstorm today. And you know what I was saying, y'all, when it was thunderstorming? Please, Lord, don't let the power go out. Did somebody catch that? And that's as well as in the natural as in the spirit. We got to stay charged up, okay? And not let the power, the electricity that goes through you go out, okay? So with that being said, let's talk about what's been going on lately. So the other day, I was watching something on TV that blew my mind. There was this young boy who served 3 years in jail. He was 16 years old, okay? Innocent young boy. Innocent. All he was doing was being black, right? Mm-hmm. Black on black crime. He walking down the street with his friend. And do you know, the cops took him and said he stole a book bag. This boy was tortured, beat up by the cops, tortured in jail, okay? Because guess what? When you have a prior, meaning a felony, do you know you will get charged as an adult? They put the baby in there with adult people, okay? And them adult people did some mean things to him. Not just the prisoners, but also the police up there, okay? He was up in there beating on that boy, hurting that boy, tormenting that boy. And guess what, y'all? He was innocent the whole time. And you know who's helping him? You know who a part of helping him? Al Sharpton is helping him. Jay-Z. Can you believe it? Jay-Z is actually producing the show. Isn't that something? So what you hear all the time with the rap game and all that kind of stuff is not what you think it is. Everybody's not bad. Everybody's not a thug. Everybody's not a bad individual. There are some good people out here that are rappers. Michael, do you want to say anything? It's good people out here that's rappers. And all of them are not bad people. So with that being said, we still have good people out here every day. This man has started this program to help our youth, to help our youth to make a difference. And now there's justice. Now there's justice going on. And now you know what? My prayer today is that everybody will stand up for one another and that there will be some type of justice. Somebody will speak up against violence. Now I'm turning it over to Michael. I don't know where Michael went. LaJuan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You want to say anything about that? I mean, it's something how these cops took this boy off the street. Now, what if that was your son? You know, and he just left a event with family members. He randomly walking down the street, and they just snatched him up and put him into jail, okay, and told him, oh, you'll be going home. You'll be going home. He never went home. Foster child, strike one. Stole the bread truck, strike two. Third strike, caught a felony. But before all of that, why did they have to take him? Didn't even give him a fair trial. What you think about that?
What I think about that is that it was based on, they was really based on trying to use him as an example. They wanted to just use him based on just wanting to just do something, and they had nothing else to do. So they just picked the child, you know, based on walking down the street, an innocent child, and that don't make sense, but that's what people do. It's being evil. And based on that, so whatever, whoever cops these was, they will be, the mom will be getting justice, whoever it is. They will be getting justice concerning that child. So now when the child comes out, he's going to most definitely going to need some help mentally. You know, so based on being mentally, because he's mentally torn now, so based on that, so he really is going to need some help when he do get out.
And what type of help do you think that he should get?
He would should based on his spiritual help and physical help based on his mind. So based on his mind, spiritually in his mind and naturally in his mind. So he's going to need some help dealing with his mental state.
Wow, he was so young. He was 16 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and with them big men, you know, violating him, doing things to him. And, you know, now that he's been at home, you know, he hasn't had peace with himself. He has nightmares. He's tormented, bad dreams, night sweats, can't even sleep, can't even eat anything. And, you know, do you know he didn't even know he was adopted? He didn't even know he was adopted.
Wow.
You know, it's something when you find out. I was 10 years old when I found out my family wasn't who they say that they were, okay? It was supposed to be this family secret until my aunt died. So I could put myself in many of our youth shoes. Many of our youth shoes. You got to find out something detrimental or devastating when something goes wrong. That's when you find out when something goes wrong, when something hits the fan. That's when you find out.
Pastor Shauna?
Yes.
This is Brother Harold. How you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. I was standing by here. I was listening. And at the same time, waiting on the grandkids to get here. But, you know, I told them that for this hour, I was going to be engaged before engaging them. And the subject matter that you're talking about is so important that we get this out. Because a lot of times, the youngsters, unbeknownst to them, there's so much that happens within the family structure that is hidden from them. And sometimes it takes a death in the family to pull back the covers, if you will. And
yes.
at that time, there's a lot of dissension. There's a lot of rancor. There's a lot of disagreement. And first and foremost, we've got to come together and realize that the business at hand is for the deceased. And carrying out his or her wishes is paramount. So that's the first thing you got to do. Secondly, you know, you've got to be prayerful going in, because the enemy loves discord. He loves discord. He loves to see families torn asunder. He loves to see rumor, non-facts, innuendo, outright lies being spread about.
Yes.
And defacing families. And once that takes place, if there's a scar, just like if there's a deep wound on your body, it takes a while for that scar to heal. And in some instances, it never heals fully. So we have to be cognizant. We have to be very much cognizant of what the enemy intends to do and has set about doing in order to tear families asunder. And like you, I think that when a child comes up in a home where that child was brought into the home in a foster situation, in an adoption situation.
I'm not
clinical as it relates to this, but I would think that if the child knows early on in life and then also understands that his or her placement within their family structure, although it is not by a normal birth situation, it is indeed by choice.
Yes.
And I think once a child understands that, they feel a little bit more immersed into that family structure as opposed to, you know, hey, let's keep this down. You know, we don't want to say anything about it. And then when it's found out, it's so intrusive and it blows up, that child is, you know, he or she doesn't know if they've been living a lie, if they've been, you know, kind of there for some sort of monetary purposes or what have you. So honesty is always the best policy.
Yeah, I remember looking at my parents, you know, my little history. My mom was murdered when I was 10 months old, but I remember looking at the people that I thought were my biological parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being a little girl saying, these people is not my parents. They don't look nothing like me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like me. Who are these people? Who are you? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was devastating for me.
Well, were,
you know,
they, warm?
To
were they warm and welcoming? Did they display love and genuine concern?
Well, no. My mom was a workaholic. So the way that she gave love was materialism. That was her way of giving me love.
Mm-hmm.
That was her love language. Let me dress her up like a Barbie doll. Let me comb her hair. Let me do that. But here, I'm going to teach you to make your own breakfast. You're going to walk your own self to school. And it's just that. And I'm going to teach you how to be independent young.
Right.
You know, my mom wasn't there to help me with my homework. She wasn't there to talk to me about the people that bullied me in school. You know, it wasn't that kind of relationship. But my daddy, you know, he was the one, I'm going to save you from getting a whooping. I'm going to protect you. You know, I'm going to keep you out of trouble, you know.
Well, I'm in league with
that
dad.
That was my daddy's role.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm with dad.
My mom was, my mom was very strict.
Mm-hmm.
She was very strict, you know, and she didn't play, you know, but she, I think that parents learning from their own parents, how they were raised is how they'll raise you
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10. So I never look at my mom as being a bad mother or
mm-hmm.
any of the moms that raised me. I look at her still as being a queen to me, even
right.
though I went through what I went through, you know, as a child, given away at 7 years old, dealing with abuse and all that kind of stuff. I still look at her as a queen because my mother that was murdered, she trusted her and gave me to her.
Okay.
And what if she never had the opportunity to be a mom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
So, what if? So I tell kids now, don't let what you find out later on dictate your future. Don't let that be the reason why you use drugs. Don't let that be the reason why you be a teen runaway.
Right.
Don't let that be the reason why you get kicked out of school like I did. Don't let that be the reason. Find a different outlet so that it won't be an excuse, as you were talking about Satan earlier. It won't be an excuse. It won't be no room, no place for him to make an excuse to mess up their life.
Right. And then you know what? You have outside forces, Pastor Shauna, that are out here
mm-hmm.
diligently working to, you know, break up the African-American community, the family. And so if
mm-hmm.
we're cognizant of what's happening, then we can build, we can circle the wagons and build a fortress around our children. Now, what I'm seeing in the school system, as you know, I substitute teach. And what I see a lot of times in the school system is young people who are, for the most part, being warehoused. And
mm-hmm.
I believe that some of the administrators, some of the department heads, and some of the teachers themselves have thrown up their hands and feel as though they cannot reach these young people. Now,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem. That's a problem because one of the things that you must do in order to remedy that situation is to find out what methodologies work in the learning environment of young people. Now,
yes.
I won't name the school, but I was in a school last week So I'm walking down the hall, right there in front of the office. They have all of the flags and banners of the big schools. They have all the Big Ten schools. They have, you know, some of the Pac-12 schools and, you know, things like that. Those banners are up there. And so inside the school, Pastor Shauna, I would say that ratio-wise, that the makeup is diverse. It's probably about a 60 to 40 mix, white students to black.
Mm-hmm.
And my thinking is, by virtue of these young black kids walking through these halls, and they don't see banners for Morehouse. They don't see banners for FAMU. They don't see banners for Spelman, Clark Atlanta, Tuskegee. So we're not making an effort to reach out and give them an imprint about what lies ahead beyond high school. And I find that a lot of times that by the time that the kids get to high school, they've already turned off.
Yeah.
They've already turned off. Now, if a white student decides that, you know, they're going to take a wayward path for a season, if they're going to take that wayward path for a season, you know, at some point in time, they're going to have an epiphany. And that epiphany is, hey, wait a minute, I'm white. Mm-hmm. I can do better. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes Pastor Shauna, it takes a great deal of strategy just to get the ear of one of these kids. And I shared something with a student a few weeks ago, and I said to him, I said, you probably don't remember, maybe about 5, 6, 7 years ago, when Britney Spears had a bad case of, I had a teacher that called it a bad case of rascality. She was acting a rascal. And you probably remember this yourself. She was running around and, you know, she had her children at the time, but, you know, she wasn't tending to the children. She was divorced from the father. She was on the town.
Oh, yeah.
She was cutting her hair. She was jumping in and out of clothes, and she wasn't wearing underwear and all of that kind of stuff. And you recall that period of time for Miss Spears? Okay. And so many of the stars down through the years have had their wayward period. But you know, I guess Britney Spears got an epiphany, woke up and said to herself, "You know something? I'm a white woman. I don't have to go down this wayward path. I better put on some underwear. I better let my hair grow." And eventually, ultimately what happened was Las Vegas extended to her, I think it was like a two-year run out in Las Vegas to do her review, her concerts. And it was mega dollars. Please believe me. They didn't ask her to come in on, you know, on some chitlin circuit. They paid her big dollars, dancers, finest musicians, costumes, arrangements that were done professionally by musicians and what have you. And I guess she woke up and said, I'm not letting this go. And I think the same thing is going to happen to Justin Bieber trying to run around here and appropriate back black culture. You know, you know, I'm not really one for a lot of entertainment, but those are just some of the things I was trying to convey to the young man that I was talking to. I think I reached him. I think I reached him. He was like,
awesome.
You know, I didn't realize that, Mr. Sullivan. I did not realize that. And then there's another thing. So we're talking about, you know, the system, and I don't know if he realized this or not either, but there are judges that are sitting on the bench right now in like circuit benches, circuit courts, on municipal courts, okay, various types of courts. There are judges that sit on the benches of these courts. And oftentimes, once a black defendant comes before him and it's time for him to bring the gavel down for sentencing, they will send them to an institution that the judge, him or herself, has a financial fiduciary interest in. And to me, that's a conflict of interest. So you're going to bang the gavel and you're going to, you know, you're going to send, you know, Raheem and Khalil and Shaniqua into the system, into a system where you are an investor and will reap the financial reward. To me, I think that is a absolute conflict of interest. I wonder what Mr. Trump would think about that. I've not heard him. I've not heard him speak on that. So, you know, we're in a position right now. You know, I know we talk about it a lot, but the thing about it is, we got to be in a position where we are not always standing on our heels and backing up, but digging our toes into the dirt and moving forward and taking the challenge.
Are you talking about what just happened with the kids and that and the people? With the viral stuff with Trump,
I'm not sure. The gas.
Yeah, somebody got gas. I think in Russia or something like that.
The chemical.
Yeah, I saw that.
It with those children.
I mean, what you think he's gonna do? You think he's gonna back up?
I think that Trump is so emboldened and so distanced from people who are underserved that at best he may take a glorified position as to, you know, this shouldn't happen and the United States will not stand for this, but the proof is in the pudding. What is it that you're going to do with regard to this incident and to this massive amount of losses of life? I saw those children, and you could see the agony that they were in, and they were trying to, you know, douse them with water and get them into a stabilized situation. But I was on my way out this morning to an assignment, and when I when I got in the car, I heard that there were 38 people who perished in that incident.
Now tell me this. How can Obama get blamed for something like that and he's not even around?
Well, it's easy. what happens is Trump wants to give individuals the, I guess, the mindset that the Obama administration laid the groundwork for a lot of what's happening now. For instance, you know that Susan Rice has been implicated in outing operatives, supposedly outing operatives about Russian involvement in the 2016 election. Okay, so here we are, what, 70 some odd days into the new administration. So if Trump had knowledge of this going back into the time that the during the election process, during that cycle in 2016, in November of 2016, why is it only now that this is, you know, becoming clear? What happens is, you know, Trump is good. And that's a good name for him, too. Trump, as in trumpeting himself and trumpeting his good works and trumpeting his beliefs and trumpeting his lies, because ostensibly that's what we have here, is a man who tells a lot of lies, turns the tables on the media, uses the media for his good. However, yet when the media exercises a responsible reporting that shows unfavorably on him and his administration. Now it's fake news. So
wow.
Trump is good at spinning the information. And he has a number of operatives out there in the media who work hand in hand with him. Not to mention, since we have this, I call it the I gotcha politicking, the I gotcha media, you know, the Republicans, mm-hmm. the Republicans can circle the wagons and get amongst themselves and determine that, well, we'll do whatever it is we want to do and say whatever it is we want to say. And we're saying that, you know, this is the fault of the former president. Here's another situation mm-hmm. that we're living through right now. Now, the Democrats are going to wind up having filibuster because the gentleman who is nominated for Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch, is facing some pretty stiff headwinds coming from the Democrats. Of course, you know, it was April of last year that Antonin Scalia, the judge that passed away, once he passed away, the Obama administration went straight ahead and made a nomination of their own. The Republicans stonewalled that nomination and just outright said they weren't even going to entertain it. And they didn't. And I guess that's yeah. one of the problems that I have with the Obama administration is that they didn't take the whipping stick out and start, you know, mm-hmm. Hitting some heads, because mm-hmm. his nominee should have been entertained, in my opinion. From the time between April and the election, which was in November, let's just say, you know, for the sake of, you know, a reasonable time span from April till mm-hmm. the end of October, that man could have been vetted. He could have been brought before the House, could have been brought before mm-hmm. the Senate. He could have been able to, you know, share what his thoughts were, what his concerns were, what his process would be as a Supreme Court justice. We never got a chance to see that. Here we are now. Trump's been in office, 70 days, and here they want to run an in and around on Neil Gorsuch. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's mm-hmm. it's a double standard type of politic. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. We're gonna do it our way. I'm sorry. Pardon me. But it's very sad. It's very sad because a lot of times we just sit back and we take it. And as I said earlier, I was a little disappointed. I didn't have many disappointments with President Obama, but I felt that, you know, just to put it in street terms, he got punked a little bit on that one.
Right.
I really believe that. Yeah. So I don't know. Hey, is Dr. Van Tool amongst us tonight?
No. Well, we do have callers.
Oh, great.
They're on the line now. Callers, do you have anything you want to say? Okay, so phone numbers. Let me see. 4549 phone number. Amnesia. Sister LaJuan, do y'all have anything y'all would like to say?
Oh, I think concerning this issue and situation, it's like uh-huh. it really is something, because it's like I was hearing something on the news the other day based on to what Trump is trying to do in Detroit now. So it's like, I guess it's based on a lot of things that is going to be changing, dealing with the taxes, dealing with different things, whatever the kids need, raising up things, whatever, in Detroit. Because Detroit was one of the ones that voted for Trump. So now Trump about to do some things and do some rearrangement in Detroit now. So that's going to be very surprising. And I just had to put my seatbelt on and just watch and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, Trump, by Trump taking Michigan, and that was really a surprise.
Was very shocking.
That was very shocking. I don't know if he's coming back to kind of share some of the wealth. I'm very leery of President Trump in that regard, so I don't know. It remains to be seen, and once I see it, then and only then will I believe it. But one of the things that we have to really be cognizant of is whatever. I remember on November the 9th, one of the most depressing days of my entire life, because you know we knew the result of the election. But
oh yeah,
I had to just come to realization. I had to pinch myself and say to myself, wait a minute. Why am I crying? Woe is me. Because, you know, the word tells me and tells us all that, you know, it's God's will that we prosper and be in health. He didn't say his will to prosper and be in health during the Democratic administration. He didn't say it was good for us to prosper and be in health when, you know, once it's time to, you know, slew the fatted calf and have a feast.
Right.
No, his will is for us to prosper and be in health during any set of circumstances. So what we have to do is become mindful of the fact that our course, our road to redemption may be different than the one that was traveled through President Obama, or different from the one that may have been traveled through Hillary Clinton had she won. But we've got to determine, you know, how we're going to be able to exercise God's will for us. And I'm all about prospering. I'm all about being in health, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the callers have a question. So she said his son-in-law to handle. So she got a problem with, you know, what is Donald Trump plan to do with his son-in-law?
Is the caller on?
She won't talk.
Oh, okay.
They just text. They text me and have me to ask the question. So I don't know.
The son-in-law is, I guess, if you want to call it, running interference for the Trump family, because now you have several family members.
Oh, she said she will talk. Okay, go ahead and talk. Where's she at? Mary?
Hello, caller.
Okay, let me add her in. Hold on. Because, she not talking. Hold on. Uh-oh, I don't know what I just did. Uh-oh. Hold on, y'all.
Okay.
I used to know how to work this thing, but I guess I don't.
While you're looking for that remedy, let me just kind of share something that took place a few years back. You recall when you got her?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you recall when Mike Ilitch took over the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers? And he was also the owner of Little Caesar's Pizza. Well, his wife, Marion, was, I guess, on some of the fact-finding committees for the casinos before the casinos became up and running here in Detroit. And so there were claims of conflict of interest and finger-pointing. And as a result, after some legal wrangling, Marion Ilitch was forbidden to be a part of the Ilitch Holdings, which included Little Caesars, the Red Wings, the Tigers, and also have an interest in the casinos. She had to divest herself of one or the other. So she actually wound up separating herself from Little Caesars Pizza. I think the same thing needs to be true of any immediate family members of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Daughters, sons, sons-in-laws. Because what it does is it provides for and it makes it look like the slope is real slippery. So
right.
if you got your fingers in a whole bunch of different pies from a business standpoint, who's to say that there isn't some sort of positioning of Trump Industries to benefit from his being in the White House?
Right.
Yep. I was hearing a little feedback there. I think maybe the caller might be able to get on, but
she's on.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that you have to be very, very concerned about. You know, there's a separation of powers. You cannot have a fiduciary interest in the administration, and at the same time, you know, have a position where you're a family member, you're talking to heads of state from all over the globe, you're flexing your muscle, you're sharing with individuals what you'll be able to do to benefit them by having a relationship with the Trump administration. See, Trump, I believe we should caution ourselves and understand, or he should caution himself and understand that the United States government is not Trump Holdings. It's not Trump Industries. When Trump goes into the boardroom and operates his business, he's the top person in charge. All right? He's the head person in charge. He's the HPIC. We have another name for it in our community, but I'm calling him the HPIC. So generally, people don't say no to the HPIC, right? Everything that comes down the pike for the HPIC. And if the HPIC happens to be the president of the United States, then you know you're going to have some resistance. You're going to have some resistance. I think that he has built up such a juggernaut, and that train is rolling down the track, and he's building up so much steam that even the Republicans who opposed him in the early going have to find themselves in a position now where they are siding with him. I think John McCain is one of the few who has demonstrated having the cojones to stand up to the president and to share his thoughts as to how this administration is really running amok.
Wow.
I have to give it to John McCain in that regard. Okay. I mean, you've got Paul Ryan, who was a staunch advocate early on. You've got Mitch McConnell. You've got all of those individuals who ran in the primaries who were staunchly against Trump, everything that he stood for, and now you're backing down. You know what it makes me think, Pastor Shauna?
What does it make you think?
It makes me think that Trump's got some pictures somewhere. Makes me think he's got some pictures somewhere.
Wow.
I don't know if you ever watched this television program, it comes on cable, called The First 48.
Uh-huh.
And there's a detective down there in Memphis, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
I think her name is Susan something other, a black woman.
Uh-huh.
And when she interrogates these suspects, you know, she comes at them motherly.
Yes, she does. Like, yes,
you know,
I love her. Yes.
I understand, young man. I understand the circumstances under which you grew up in. I understand that your daddy wasn't there. that your mom was on crack and you had brothers that were already in the system. You know what I'm saying? Invariably, they break down and they start crying.
Yes, they do.
They start crying. Now, I've seen an incident where, you know, some of them were so hard that the strategy wasn't penetrating. So, you know, you always keep aces in the hole. So,
sure be it.
You have some photographs, right? So, well, where were you on the night of July 27th? I was at home. You sure? You going with
Wait,
that?
Wait, Mary said she went to school with her.
Oh, is that right?
She went to school with my sister.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's an excellent detective. But I have seen her actually, you know, when she got down to where she had to pull the ace out of the hole, she moved a picture over across the table. And she asked the suspect, "You going with that?"
Yeah.
And they look at the photo, and on July the 27th or whatever year, there you are on camera in the photograph walking across the street from the place in question where the murder took place. I forgot her last name. I know it's Carolyn something. But
she's good.
She's a bad detective. Well, the corollary I'm drawing here is, you know, Trump's been in business for a long time, so he's dealt with politicians and he's dealt with, you know, I don't know how much he's dealt with heads of state from other countries, but he's dealt with people in the higher echelons of American business. And, you know, just like any good business person, you fortify your ability to coerce decisions. Y'all heard what I said?
We heard that.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I think that, you know, through his business dealings, Trump is probably on the Hill exerting those types of powers against those individuals who were formidable foes this time last year. So who knows? Now, as it relates, I'm trying to build more information on what's happening with Susan Rice and the allegations that he's tried to sling up against her, but I don't think it's going to hold water. I don't think it's going to stick. People are saying that, you know, Trump has positioned himself in such a way now that he may be he may have to, you know, face some sort of an impeachment. But see, impeachment, you got to bring it. You've got to bring it. It can't be just circumstantial evidence either. It's got to be evidence that points to a crime. And until we get such evidence, I think we're going to be dealing with this guy for a measured period of time.
All right. Mary, did you still want to say something about the son-in-law real quick, or are you done?
Yeah, I just want to know, why would he send his son-in-law over there to Iraq and his son-in-law don't know anything about the war?
And you only got 1 minute, because I'm waiting on the call real quick to come in. We got 1 minute.
Okay, yeah.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I think he really wants to fortify his administration's positioning on a global administration, and having a mindset of what is happening in foreign countries, particularly over in the Eastern European bloc. And I think that's what he's trying to do at this point with his son-in-law and, you know, other members of the family, you know, really trying to fortify and build up his positioning. So I guess, you know, that remains to be seen. But in the meantime, you know, we gotta build a resistance. We just can't take it. We gotta build a resistance.
Well, we thank you guys so much for calling International News Detroit Weekly. We ask God to bless each and every one of you. We will pick back up next week, Wednesday at 6:30. You don't want to miss it. Talk to you guys soon.